Hey everyone, I'm Coach Al Lyman.
And I'm Dr. Kurt Strecker, and we are the experts behind Pursuit Athletic Performance, one of the nation's cutting-edge sports training companies with an outstanding reputation for getting athletes just like you stronger, more powerful, and faster, all while keeping you uninjured and in the game year after year.
Our weekly podcast will share honest, effective training tips and information, from the nuances of triathlon to the rigors of ultra running, as well as the latest in sports medicine and nutrition. Our goal is to explode the training myths and untruths marketed to athletes and to teach you how to truly unleash your ultimate potential. Be sure to subscribe for free updates of our proven strategies at PursuitAthleticPerformance.com. Hey everybody, welcome to this new edition of the Pursuit Athletic Performance Podcast. I am Coach Al Lyman. Thank you so much for joining me today on the podcast. This is sort of a special edition of the podcast. I decided to do this one today in part because of some conversations that I've had with some athletes on our team and through our Facebook page. Now that we've gotten into the racing season, if you're a runner or a cyclist or a triathlete, certainly in the Northern Hemisphere, you've probably had an opportunity to head out there and race a little bit. And if you have, you may have had a bad race. So the topic today is, what do we do when a race goes bad? How do we take that experience, frame it in a positive way, look at it objectively and realistically, and most importantly, use that experience to empower us moving forward? You know, in the 30 years or so since I started my journey as a runner, I've had an opportunity to do hundreds of races, if not more than 1,000. And I can tell you that I've had plenty of frustrating races as well as a lot of great ones. And I can think back on the races where everything seemed to click and work perfectly for me. Many of those I can immediately recall and talk in great detail about how they felt. But the truth is that the more frustrating races, the ones that didn't go as planned, are really the races or training sessions or experiences that I think we learn the most from. You know, it's been said many times over that there's no such thing as failure. There's just one more step toward success. And whether it's Thomas Edison or anyone else, we've certainly seen great achievers have plenty of frustrating moments on their way to ultimately reaching their goal or their potential or whatever it may be. So in truth, a bad race is just a moment in time. How we look at that race and the way that we frame it and what we learn from it is really what's going to help us to continue to move forward. And really moving forward is what it's all about. You know, pondering challenging days on the race course and allowing that to drag us down, or worse, to allow us to begin to identify ourselves with that bad race is really negative and not at all where we want to be. We are not a bad race. We're not a good race either. We are individual people. We've got strengths and weaknesses. We're all on our journey, our own hero's journey, if you will. And certainly the key to moving forward and improving and getting closer to your ultimate potential is really about taking those bad races, those more, those downer kind of events where things don't click or don't go as you quote unquote expected them to, and really learning from them. So in today's podcast, I'm going to share some thoughts on that, things that have really worked well for me over the years. And I hope that you find some of it helpful. You know, first of all, I think it's a really good idea to do a post-race debriefing of some kind. On our team here at Pursuit Athletic Performance, we've got a couple of documents that team members use if they choose to, where they can go into great detail in a document and write things down that are pertinent to the race, whether it's how much fluid they took in, what they used for fuel, how they felt, their individual splits for different parts of the event if they're triathletes. And I think that's a really, really good idea, because ultimately, if you're going to learn from your experience, you want to document things well. It's really hard to go back and say, okay, why did this happen or why did I feel this way, when you're not able to recall the details that are pertinent to that. So if you can get into the habit of doing some kind of documentation post-race and really write some things down and be as specific as you can about how you approach the race, then I think that can be really, really helpful in assessing what happened. And I think of that as a post-race debriefing. You know, when we go into a race, of course, we're bringing into that race expectations. We all have some kind of expectation for how the race is going to go. And once we get into the race and we get to the end, whatever we've got for a result is really going to reflect all of the work that we've done, not only in the recent past, but in many instances, many months or even years prior to that race. It really is a manifestation of all of those things. And of course, where we're at that particular moment in time. You know, one of the things I love about racing as an endurance athlete is you get back what you put in almost every instance, irrespective of talent, of course. You know, every one of us has a different level of natural ability. But irrespective of that, you know, the result that you get at the end of the race really reflects the work you've put in and how well prepared you are going in. And of course, how well you executed during the race, whether it's in terms of a pacing strategy or a mindset as the race was unfolding. I really love that element. But I think irrespective of preparation and all of those months and weeks of training, what are your expectations going into a race? Where are you at mentally? What are you expecting in terms of a finish time or a split, or even how it's going to feel? How hard is it going to be? How easy is it going to be? Are you going to be able to get into a groove or a rhythm? I personally believe that expectations going into a race, when we think of it as a certain number on the clock or a certain finish place, I think those can be really, really dangerous, because in many instances, what I found with athletes is their expectations are not always really objective and or realistic going into races. And, you know, I always think back, I've read a fair amount from life coach Steve Chandler, who has an audio program he calls Expectations Versus Agreements. And it's a great program. I'd highly recommend you go check it out. Steve really talks at length about this idea that when we have expectations, there are really only two possible results. One is that the expectation is met, in which case we're satisfied and almost sort of ho-hum in that, well, I expected that, and that's what I got back, so, you know, okay. The other possible outcome is that we fall short of those expectations, in which case we're disappointed and frustrated. You know, there's certainly information that as an athlete you have prior to a race that should tell you about what your fitness level is and about what your preparation has been. And you probably have practiced some segments of time in your sport at your goal intensity or pace. So you've probably got some idea of what you're capable of. And it's going to impact your pacing strategy, of course. But to have a true expectation, unless it is really, really objective and very well thought out and very honest, which is hard to do, having some kind of expectation is almost always going to lead to some frustration if that expectation is not met. And in many instances, it ends up not being. You know, you can't wish and hope that you get some kind of result just because you think the stars are going to align on race day. That isn't the way it works in our sports. And I think you'd all be very thankful that it's not that way. You know, we get back what we put in every instance. So the first thing, you know, I would recommend you think about as you begin to debrief is, what were your expectations going into the race? And if it turned out badly, or if you had a result that was disappointing to you, were your expectations really in line with what you were capable of on the day? And try to be as objective as you can about that. And of course, seek some outside guidance or counsel in order to bring that expectation into some kind of alignment. You know, it's tough to do, but you know, so many athletes, I almost think it's human nature that, you know, regardless of the ebb and flow of our training, you know, maybe there was a period of time when we were sick and we lost a couple of weeks of some quality, or maybe we weren't as detail oriented in our planning as we should be. When we end up arriving at a race venue and we toe the line, we somehow got this feeling. It's like I said, it's almost human nature that, you know, we cross our fingers and, you know, maybe this is the day that it's all going to come together for us and, you know, we can have a great race. And similarly, we can be on the other end of the spectrum and be really negative about what our possibilities are, you know, just really doubt ourselves and be sort of self-deprecating in terms of how we think about our preparation or our ability level compared to other athletes. And that's not a positive place to be either. Because the truth is, if you can get out on the race course and approach the race with the right mindset and really execute well, you have the opportunity to race as fast or faster than your fitness level would predict. And I think that's a really, really important element to successful and ultimately fast racing, is to quiet the mind and just get out there and execute well. And then, of course, really dig deep and suffer well as the race unfolds, because that's a necessary component to racing fast. You have to be able to deal with being uncomfortable. You know, sort of being comfortable with being uncomfortable is an essential part of racing fast. And we always, you know, we experience that in training at some point in time, but you know, we're all of us are fighting this, you know, this mental battle as a race unfolds. And, you know, that negative inner critic on one shoulder and on the opposite shoulder, you know, let's think of it as the devil angel, right? This negative conversation, this battle going on all of the time as we're racing. And it's really our job to be out there and be present in the moment that we're in and quiet those negative thoughts and really be present and be in an entirely positive mindset that will allow us to really, really focus and execute. It's a tough place to be, but it's an important one to race successfully. And if you can get there and get there through diligent practice and training every day and every week and every month, then your ability to race successfully into your potential is certainly going to be increased. You know, I, as a coach, it's really interesting for me to look now. I've been coaching triathletes and runners now for about 15 years. And certainly I've worked with a lot of different kinds of people, and some are very detail oriented and others are not. And it's also fascinating to me to see how certain people are detail-oriented in certain aspects of their lives, but not in others. I mean, I know business people that are extremely detail-oriented in how they run their business and how they track the numbers and how they prepare and plan as it relates to their business. But in terms of their approach to their sport, not nearly as detail-oriented. As you begin to debrief your race, you've got to objectively step back and say, you know, what was my preparation going in? You know, the devil's in the details when it comes to having a great race or having good races consistently from 1 week or 1 month to the next. And if you're not taking care of the details and not planning appropriately and not doing the little things, then the odds of you having a successful and fast race are really minimized. That's just the way it is. So as you go into a race, you're looking at, okay, what are my expectations? And hopefully if you're following Steve Chandler's advice, you're not going into it with expectations, but rather you're going to make an agreement with yourself to execute well and be present and do the best that you can and finish strong. That's a much better place to be. But certainly as you go in and you look at whatever expectations you might have or whatever agreements you make with yourself, it has to reflect the preparation that you've had going in. If you expect to have really good results, then you also should expect of yourself to do the preparation that's necessary to have that good result. You can't have it both ways. You can't take a lackadaisical attitude or approach to pre-race preparation and training and preparation, and then yet expect a result that reflects highly detailed planning and preparation. So a lot of the time, as a coach, what I'm doing is I work with the athletes that I'm in a coach-athlete relationship with, is helping them to see themselves more objectively, see where their strengths and weaknesses are, where they tend to go. If they're not very detail-oriented, try to push them more in that direction. Because things like, you know, reconning a race course ahead of time and knowing the course in detail really helps with pacing and with strategy. Going through race simulation sessions where you really plan appropriately on the day of that race simulation, so you're getting things to happen as they'll happen on race day in every way. Going through the tedious work prior to the race that's necessary to really figure out the best way for you to fuel given the conditions that you're going to see. Planning training courses ahead of time that mimic what you're going to see on race day so you get an opportunity to experience that. All of those details that are tedious, that nobody ever hears about, that nobody wants to spend time doing, really will allow you to have a better chance for success on race day. And if you didn't do that preparation, if you're not detail-oriented, if you've approached the race as though it's not that much of a priority, yet expected results which would indicate that the race was a priority, then there's a disconnect there, and you've got to really look at that and really frame it as objectively and honestly as you can, you know. And the truth is, if we're going to use these races as experiences which will help us move forward positively, being honest with ourselves is essential. I mean, it just is. And if we can't be, we've got to find somebody who can help us see it a little bit more objectively. No one ever moves forward, I don't think, in life or certainly in racing and training if they're constantly fooling themselves and lying to themselves about what they're doing, you know. It's no mystery or magic on the race course. And again, that's the great thing about our sports, is you really get back what you put in. You know, there are times when things happen, you know, and there are many, many things that happen that are out of our control. In fact, most things that happen out there ultimately are out of our control. When we talk about the weather and, of course, who may show up as our competitors. So we've got to focus on the things that we can control and forget about the things that we can't. Certainly, you know, if you're, for example, traveling to a very hot place and you're racing a hot race and you're coming from an area that's cool or cold and you haven't had a chance to acclimate to the heat, that's going to be a factor in your performance, and you've got to anticipate that and plan for that ahead of time, whether it's how you approach pacing, being more conservative, or how you approach fueling and hydration. You can't take in and assimilate as many calories when it's very hot, and you may need to hydrate more simply because you're not acclimated. And these are factors that have to impact what you're expecting in terms of your result on race day. And also, it should impact your strategy, you know? And when we talk about strategy, this is certainly something else that I think is really important. In our team, and for all, and inside of all of the training plans that I write for all of the athletes that I work with, I include a pre-race visualization stretching session prior to the day of the race. And this, in my opinion, reflects a more holistic approach to race planning, which I think is essential for success and consistent success over time. And in this pre-race visualization session, I suggest to athletes that they sit on the floor and they begin to organize their equipment so that they can check the box off the list for each piece of equipment or item that they're going to need for success on race day. And as they organize for triathletes that swim, bike, run equipment, I suggest that they go through and visualize every aspect of that race from the time that they first show up in the transition area to set up transition until they cross the finish line. And that also reflects an idea that I believe is important, which is to literally do a written pre-race plan. So whether we're visualizing how the race is going to flow out on the night before the race, or we're going to sit down in the 2 to 3 weeks before a race and write down how we're going to execute that race, whatever our approach may be, the key thing here is that we've thought through what may happen in a race and how we're going to react to it. And we're going to choose to react positively. We're going to choose to react in a way that will allow us to make the best of whatever happens out there. We're going to choose to be proactive and plan for our success rather than just be haphazard and let things happen. So if you're approaching an important race and you haven't yet sat down to write a pre-race plan so that you can very carefully express in written form how you're going to execute that day, how you're going to go and step through the various tasks that are going to be presented to you, and what you're going to do if things go wrong. I really think this is important. You know, if you can think about all of the possible things that may happen to you during the course of the swim, if you're a triathlete, whether it's getting your goggles knocked off or if conditions are very tough and challenging, or if something happens that just completely throws you off your game, if you've anticipated that this may happen ahead of time and you've chosen how you're going to react to it ahead of time, then when it happens, it won't completely take you out of the race mentally. You've thought through this already. You've visualized yourself responding positively to that event. And you can begin to act immediately and make the best of the situation. And in many instances, what at first may have seemed like a tragic event, whatever it may be, can turn out to be the blip on a screen of what ultimately is a successful race. So a pre-race plan and a pre-race visualization session where you're organizing your gear are two components that I think are really, really important to successful racing. And naturally, I think as you're listening, you're probably thinking, well, you know, if I'm doing a Thursday night local sprint that's part of a series, I'm not going to write a pre-race plan. And I think certainly you're going to handle higher priority races differently and longer races differently than you would shorter events, for sure, because there's less pacing strategy and there's less things to go wrong in a shorter event. But, you know, I also believe that regardless of the length of the race or the priority of the race, the more you can make routine the things that you need to do to achieve success, the better off you're going to be. It really is habit, how we approach something. You know, we all know, and we've read this from many, many people, you know, of course, that, you know, excellence isn't something you turn on and turn off. Executing well in a race and performing well and being in the right space mentally has got to come from daily practice and deep practice. It's a habit, whatever it may be, that ultimately you're going to manifest when the heat is on and you're in that moment. What are the grooves you've grooved? What are the pathways that ultimately, habitually, neurologically, you know, what are your habits? Where are you going? And how are you going to act or react in that moment when it's critical to do so? And how you act or react is going to reflect habit. It's going to reflect what you've done consistently. So I've always approached racing one way, regardless of whether it was a local 5K or I was toeing the line at the Boston Marathon. And certainly, you know, listen, lining up for the swim in Kona for the Ironman it feels a whole hell of a lot different than a local sprint race. But ultimately, the skills that I build in those smaller races and in my preparation will allow me to execute the bigger races a lot more easily, for sure. You know, I've learned in my own experience, and certainly working with athletes as well, that when we have a bad race, a lot of the time that bad race or bad result is often nothing more than a bad finish, not a strong finish to a race. So I just want to throw in this idea that whatever you do in a race, you should always build into that race and build into that segment. And if we can do everything possible to finish strong, I think we can frame a race in a positive way with a strong finish much more easily than we can if we've got a strong start and a strong middle but a weak finish. I think that's really, really important. The other element that I've seen consistently is our mindset in a race. How many times does something bad happen, or what we perceive to be bad happen, and we let it completely distract us, and what starts off as a tiny little pebble just rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls and gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and pretty soon it's a boulder, you know, the size of a house. We can allow this negative momentum to carry us to a point where we completely are off our game, or we can handle something positively in the moment and keep our mindset appropriate to allow for the greatest chance for success. So what am I saying? You know, your mental strength, your mindset, your ability to be focused and in the moment, your ability to have prepared mentally for whatever may happen out there, because stuff happens, things go wrong. How are you going to react? What are you going to choose in the heat of the moment? And if we can hold it together mentally and stay in that proper place, we are almost absolutely assuring ourselves that we're going to have, no matter what happens, the best chance for success and certainly a strong finish. You know, if there's one thing I found over the years when it comes to this topic and athletes I've worked with, and you all know what it is, it's this idea that we can turn on our mental game in the heat of the moment when it happens and in a race. And that is never the optimal way to approach it. We've always got to consider this idea that every training day, every training session, every time we approach any aspect of training, we've got an opportunity to put some emphasis on our mindset and how we approach things, and practice mental toughness and practice focus and practice mindfulness and practice positive thoughts, practice thought replacement, come back to power words that work for us. When we do this on a routine basis, daily, as a normal part of every swim stroke or pedal stroke or stride we take, then on race day it happens much more easily and, in fact, automatically. It becomes, again, something that's habit rather than something we're trying to turn on and turn off. And you all know that. I mean, you've all heard that many times over. Yet, interestingly, many of us fall victim to this idea that, you know, wow, I guess it's the week before the race, I better start thinking about how tough I am mentally. when we allow our mental game to fall and we start to judge ourselves on the race course and we start to become our worst critics and allow that negative inner critic to take hold, then the truth is we're really sabotaging our chance for success at that moment in time. And our ability to rebound from that is going to get increasingly challenged with every step we take. So you've got to prepare ahead of time and put yourself in a place where mentally you can be present and react as positively as is possible, no matter what happens. You know, all of this being said, you know, I want to come back to something that I said initially, which is simply that no matter what the race, it's just a moment in time. You know, if you have a bad race or a bad experience, you got to let it go and move on. I mean, they happen. You're not defined by a single race or a single experience as an individual or as an athlete. Every single athlete, I mean, how many times did Mark Allen, a DNF at Ironman Hawaii before he finally crossed the finish line first and then went on to 6 Ironman World Championships? And his example is one of many. Every athlete out there who's had success has experienced really bad races, bonks, DNFs. We're not defined by a bad race. So let it go. Learn from the experience by documenting and debriefing your race. Seek the counsel or advice of someone who can help you be objective to identify areas you may have fallen short in terms of your preparation and your ability to pay attention to the details. Think more about your preparation going into a race and do the pre-race plan and practice that mindset that is essential for success on the race course every single day that you train. If you can learn from those experiences and move forward positively and let the bad ones go and not repeat those mistakes, or at least reduce the chances of repeating those mistakes, then you will surely get closer and closer to your best races on a more consistent basis. And at the end of the day, what you're going to get out of that race is really going to reflect what you've put into it. And I think that if racing is important to you, that's really what it's all about. It's one of the reasons why, as I said, why I love our sports so much is it really is about execution and about putting in the work. And it's so incredibly satisfying to have a good race that really reflects your best effort and your ultimate potential. And once you have it, no one can ever take it away from you. And it's a reward for a lot of hard work and conscientious effort and discipline. And again, attention to detail. Attention to detail. The devil is definitely in the details. So, all right. I hope some of these thoughts have been helpful. As always, if you have any questions or thoughts, please jump on our blog at pursuitathleticperformance.com or drop us a note on Facebook or send us an email, info@pursuitathleticperformance.com. I want to wish everyone happy and successful and satisfying racing for the remainder of 2014. Let us know how you're doing. And keep the chin up. Keep working hard. Be detail-oriented. Pat yourself on the back. And all the best of success to all of you out there. All right, we'll talk with all of you soon. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to the Pursuit Athletic Performance Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a 5-star rating and review here on iTunes. Be sure to head over to PursuitAthleticPerformance.com to subscribe for free tips and strategies to help you get strong, get fast, and unleash the amazing athlete in you.